win for the Kansas City Royals today. Getting a series W out on the West Coast against the San Francisco Giants 8-4. Logan Weber here with you on After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Jacob Mustard alongside producing tonight's program. We're with you till 9 o'clock tonight. You know, we were listening to that interview that CDOT was doing, and he was asking, you know, asking Denny about the concern with Salvador Perez. You know, when is it time to start having to ask questions about Salvi? Well, I think that we have at least pushed that back a day. Let's wait another day before we question what's going on with Salvador Perez after he goes 3-for-5 today, including an opposite field 2-run home run, his third of the year. You know, the power numbers are still down overall this season. He's still only hitting .223, but he had arguably his best individual performance at the plate this year. Mikel Garcia continues to impress, man. I mean, he was 2-for-4 today, 2 runs driven in. He's now hitting .315 so far this season. He hit .267 in the month of April. He's hitting .352 now in the month of May. And he hit .385 in limited ABs in March. Mikel Garcia is doing a very, very nice job this season with this Royals team. The concern with Mikel Garcia this year will be the same as it has been for the majority of his career, or at least last season as well, was, is it sustainable? Because Mikel, back in May, this time last year, had a very good month of May then. He hit .305 in May of last year. He followed that up by hitting .142 in June. He hit .276 in July, so a pretty decent bounce back. He then hit .250 in August and .161 in the month of September. Mikel Garcia is off to the best start to a season in his entire career thus far, without question. He's top 10 in Major League Baseball in batting average right now. The question is, can he keep it up in June? Can he keep it up in July and into the dog days of August and September, right? That's always going to be the question mark for Mikel Garcia until he's able to answer that. Bobby Witt Jr. had another multi-hit game today. He drove in 2 runs of his own. Vinny Pasquantino had an RBI in the game. And Michael Massey had probably his best day at the plate. He went 3-for-5 and is now back up over the Mendoza line. He's hitting .207 after that 3-hit performance and drove in an RBI. It was a Johnny Holstaff game pitching-wise for the Kansas City Royals. Dustin Lynch came in and threw 1 2/3 scoreless. His ERA now on the year is a 1.19. He has been a revelation since moving to the bullpen in the last couple of seasons, really. I mean, he only threw 16 games last year, 14 of them in relief. I mean, he had a 3.32 ERA. And so far this year, in 21 appearances, one of those being today's start, across 22 2/3 innings, he's got a 1.19 ERA. He has been outstanding in that role so far this year. Jonathan Bolin got his first career win today. A longtime member of the Omaha Storm Chasers recently called up. He went 1 1/3, gave up 1 earned, but picked up the first W of his career. Steven Cruz gave up an earned run after he had a remarkable beginning of the year. He has kind of sputtered as of late. He's now given up an earned run in 2 of his last 4 appearances, including back on May 12th when he gave up 2 earned runs to the Houston Astros. Taylor Clark threw 2 scoreless innings. Angel Serpa threw a scoreless frame. And Lucas Ersig throws a 1 inning of work. He gives up 2 earned runs, which now balloons his ERA to a 1.25. He had 1.25 ERA after giving up 2 earned. Mind you, that's the first earned run. Those are the first earned runs that Lucas Ersig has allowed since April 18th. It has been over a month since he has given up an earned run. And he's thrown probably 15 times between that April 18th appearance against Detroit and the matchup today against San Francisco. So really, really impressive work there. So the Royals now move to 28-23 on the season. They are now getting set for a weekend series coming up on Friday because they are off tomorrow, as they have been traditionally off on Thursdays. But they'll be back at it on Friday. as they will be on the road once again, heading to Minnesota to take on the Twins, a Twins team that got off to a slow start, but as of late has been playing much better baseball. I mean, they took 2 out of 3 against Milwaukee. They swept, a 3-game series against Baltimore twice. They swept a 3-game series against the Giants. They took 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox, and they split a 2-game series. They split a 2-game series against the Cleveland Guardians. They had a game yesterday. They got postponed. So 1 out of 2 there. Much better as of late. They've leapfrogged from 4th in the division to 2nd in the division fairly quickly. So this is going to be a big series for the Kansas City Royals, as they're projecting that Noah Cameron will go tomorrow. According to ESPN, that's the probable starter going up against Pablo Lopez. And then on Saturday, it looks like it's going to be Michael Wacha back on the bump, who has been really, really good to begin this season, against Zebby Matthews. And then we will get to see an intriguing matchup on Sunday with Chris Bubich, who right now, or at least as of last night, I don't know how that changes today, he was in the top of the American League, the top of Major League Baseball in pitching war. That is Chris Bubich to begin this year, 5-2 with that 1.47 earned run average. He'll be pitching Sunday, probably, against Bailey Ober, who's 4-1 with a 3.68. Somebody in the text line just said, who the F is Dustin Lynch? Did I say Dustin Lynch, like the country singer? I meant Daniel Lynch, so that's on me. That's my bad there. I love that Salvi went oppo. That's a really good sign. I hope he catches fire. Man, I hope so. It would be huge, huge to get him back going again, right? As the leader of this team, as the captain, right? He's the guy that you look to with leadership. I mean, for leadership, absolutely. He drives this team morale-wise and everything else. So for him to kind of get off to the slow start that he's been on here, not to mention, if he gets hot, that's offense, right? That's a guy hitting cleanup with Jonathan India, who hasn't hit the ball well. I know there's been conversation about, do you move Mikel Garcia back up to the leadoff spot? I don't want to mess with a good thing. He's hitting the ball extremely well in the 5th slot. And while Jonathan India's batting average is down below 240, he's not there to have a 290-300 batting average. Jonathan India is in the leadoff spot because of his on-base percentage. I know, it's the whole Billy Bean money ball sort of thing. He gets on base. His OBP right now is a shade under 330, so he's still doing his job in that leadoff spot. Is the average where you want it? No, but the on-base percentage is solid there. And with him being right ahead of Bobby Witt Jr., in that number 2 spot, you give Bobby an opportunity to hit with runners on base. And then with Vinny hitting the ball much better here as of late, I mean, he had a really strong end of April, and so far in the month of May has been really, really strong. He's hitting .304 now in the month of May. He's got 4 home runs already this month. You get Salvi hitting cleanup, hitting the ball better. That's a really, really good 1 through 5. 6 through 9, honestly, 7, 8, and 9 are great. Drew Waters and Kyle Isbell have been really, really good this season. I mean, Drew Waters is hitting .281 and Kyle Isbell's hitting .286. Now, Kyle Isbell draws almost no walks ever. He's got 2 walks this season and 119 ABs. Drew Waters isn't much better. He's only got 5. Michael Massey with a 3-hit game today. Maybe he can start to pick it up a little bit more. But obviously, the question that will surround this Royals team for the remainder of the year is, do they go after more offense? And where do they go for it? Is it calling Jack Caglione up? Which, I continue to stand by the fact that I don't think that's the answer this season. I think you give Caglione more of an opportunity here in May, June, July to get himself comfortable in AAA. He did get his first hit yesterday. It was an infield single on kind of a blooped ball that was mishandled by the third baseman. But he got his first AAA knock, and he's playing right field today for the Omaha Storm Chasers. So we'll continue to see how he performs there. maybe if you want to call him up in late August or early September, right, as a part of the September call-ups, fine. But to call a guy like that up in June or July and you give him half a season, 60% of a season, when, you know, and to kind of more or less give away a service year, which I hate to discuss. I hate the idea of service years and all those things and the six-year limit and all that stuff. It's important, especially for an organization like the Kansas City Royals, where you need to take advantage of those service years because you don't have the payroll to compete, right? You call Jack Caglione up now, and in 5 or 6 years, he becomes a free agent. Woof. Things get dicey real quick. I think the more likely scenario is they go after somebody, whether it's a current free agent or they trade for somebody coming up here in the month of June or July. Somebody in the text line mentioned Chris Taylor, possibly signing him. He was recently released. In fact, today or yesterday, he was released by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Off to a really, really slow start this year. He's hitting 200. I'm not sold on bringing in a guy like Chris Taylor, because if you're looking for somebody to drive, you know, to get on base and drive in runs, he is hitting 200 so far this year. He hit 202 last season. In 2023, he hit 237. He hit 221 in 2022 and hit 254 in 2021. 254. That is his best batting average in the last 5 years. Now, on base percentage outside of this season has typically hovered around 300 or just above that. He's a career 328 on base percentage, but he's 34 years old. He just got cut by the Dodgers, which makes perfect sense because there wasn't room for him at that point. They have way too strong a hitting and pitching to keep a guy like that around. He would be cheap. He would be a leadership, you know, a guy from a leadership standpoint that would be good. He knows what it takes to win at the highest level. He's won a couple of World Series and was an NLCS MVP for the Los Angeles Dodgers. But he is consistently, if you look at the numbers, everything is dropping consistently. Batting average is down. Home runs and RBIs are down. His on-base percentage is down. His hard hit ball rate is down. His walk rate is down. His strikeout rate is up. He's getting older. Father Time is catching up with Chris Taylor. I don't know if that is an incredibly viable scenario. We'll talk more about this on the other side of the break. You're listening to After Hours right here on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber alongside Jacob Mustard, your home for Kansas City sports. Talking about the Kansas City Royals. After taking 2 out of 3 against the San Francisco Giants today, an 8-4 win, everybody has agreed, even before the season started, right? What the biggest concern about this team was going to be, currently is, and will be in the future, is what's going on at the dish, right? Who's going to hit for this Royals team outside of the 3 or 4 guys that we've seen it from so far this year, right? Vinny got off to a slow start, but he's hitting the ball really, really well here in May. Salvi has been really up and down and inconsistent, but he's fresh off a 3-hit game today. Bobby Witt Jr. is hitting up over 300. Mikel Garcia is in the top 10 of the American League in batting average right now, hitting 315. Where's the offense going to come from outside of those guys, right? You've got Drew Waters and Kyle Isbell, who I think have really solidified themselves in a lot of respects. And they are doing their jobs and they're doing it well. Both of those guys hitting up over 280. You look around the order, right? You don't know who that left fielder is going to be. Mark Canha has done some really good things, but he has been sort of in and out of the lineup. We've never seen him with any real semblance of consistency out there. You need somebody else who can not only get on base, but somebody who can drive in runs. And we've gotten several suggestions here in the text line. Somebody had mentioned Chris Taylor, who just recently got cut by the Dodgers. I don't think that that's an answer. I really don't for what the Royals need right now. I look at a couple of options. There's a couple of guys that people have mentioned here. Two of them are from the Baltimore Orioles. And then I'll throw out a third that I am kind of intrigued by. The first is Tyler O'Neill, who is a former St. Louis Cardinal. He was at one time a really highly prized prospect for the St. Louis Cardinals, and he ended up being dealt off to the Red Sox, where he had a pretty good year last year. He hit .241. He had an on-base percentage near .340, and he hit 31 home runs. A guy that can drive in runs. He puts the ball out of the yard. He puts the ball in the gaps. And that's an intriguing possibility. However, this year with Baltimore, he is off to an incredibly slow start. He's hitting .188. His on-base percentage is .280. He's got 9 walks to 27 strikeouts, and he's only hit 2 home runs. The one that I look at as a much more fun option is Ryan O'Hearn. Yes, you heard that name correctly. Ryan O'Hearn, former Kansas City Royal, right? He was drafted in the 8th round by the Royals back in 2014. He played with Kansas City from 2018 to 2022, and then he went to Baltimore. And in his 3 years in Baltimore so far, he's hitting .277 with a .337 on base percentage. He hit .289 in his first year with the Orioles. He hit .264 last year. And so far this season, he's hitting .289. His on base percentage is a .380. 18 walks to 27 strikeouts. He's hit 7 home runs so far this season. That's an option I find I'm interested, very intrigued by that possibility. The name that I look at, and somebody mentioned, you know, you don't need another first baseman or DH. O'Hearn does play right field, and I think Drew Waters is more than capable of moving over and playing left field if that's the option. Another guy, an outfielder that I look at, a guy that's in a bad organization right now, but I don't know what the contract situation would look like after the fact. What about Kyle Stowers with the Miami Marlins? The Marlins are bad. He's hitting .309 so far this season, 10 home runs, 30 RBIs. And if there's one thing we all know about the Miami Marlins, it's that they don't hold on to people. When they believe they're going to get too expensive, the Marlins will let a guy go. Kyle Stowers could be that guy, a former Orioles prospect who has really never solidified himself in any respect. I mean, he's never played in more than 50 games in a season of Major League Baseball. 34 games, 14 games, 19 games, 50 games last year with the Marlins. He hit .186, but so far this year in 46 games, he's hitting .309, which is in the top 20, top 15 of Major League Baseball so far this year. With those 10 home runs and 30 RBIs, that's a guy that can drive in runs. That's a guy that can hit it into the gaps, hit it out of the yard. He's already got 6 doubles this year. He's got a couple of triples. So he's definitely got some giddy up when he gets along the base paths. And he's 27 years old. Kyle Stowers is one that really, really interests me. Would he be more expensive or less expensive than maybe like a Ryan O'Hearn? Probably more expensive because O'Hearn is already 31 years old. But Stowers, as a one-year stopgap, if you're really trying to put yourself into win-now mode, when you look across Major League Baseball, you look at the American League, the Yankees are good right now, but with the injuries that you're already dealing with, I don't know how sustainable it is for the New York Yankees. I mean, Aaron Judge can't hit .400 forever. I mean, maybe he can, but I doubt it. So I think the Yankees are vulnerable, very much so. The Orioles, yikes, they have become an absolute dumpster fire. They can't get anybody out. They can't score runs. I don't know what the hell happened to the Baltimore Orioles, dude. I have no idea. The Detroit Tigers are your biggest threat. They pitch the ball extremely well, and they have got hitting that has come out of the woodwork this season. Riley Green's hitting .287 with 12 home runs. I look at, you know, guys like Kerry Carpenter, Zach McKinstry, Javier Baez. who's hitting 284 this year after it looked like he was well on his way out of baseball. Gleyber Torres, the guy they brought over from the Yankees, is hitting 281. Their catcher, Dylan Dingler, is hitting almost 300. You got to find a way to catch them, or at least make it, you know, close the gap a little bit. Right now, you're 5.5 games back of the Detroit Tigers. You're tied with the Twins, and you're a half game up on the Guardians. I look at the West. I mean, the Astros have sort of tapered off a little bit. They don't score a ton of runs right now. They pitched the ball fairly well, but they just haven't scored a ton of runs. And they've lost some guys, right? You let Kyle Tucker go and others. Alex Bregman. The Mariners are an intriguing one, but their pitching leaves something to be desired at times. There's a possibility, a lot bigger of a possibility than I thought coming into the year. I thought that the American League was the Yankees, the Orioles, and then a gap in everybody else. But the Yankees, with all the injuries, have disappointed. The Orioles have fallen off a cliff. And the Detroit Tigers have come out swinging this year, both offensively, defensively, and in terms of their pitching arms. So for 1 year, if you think you've got a shot this year, I think Kyle Stowers can be that guy. I don't know. The problem is he's got arbitration. So that makes things incredibly difficult. Or at least it could. In terms of, will the Marlins be willing to trade him knowing that they've got arbitration under him? That might raise his value even more than you would see for a guy like an O'Hearn or a Tyler O'Neill. 913-586-7965 is our number. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap up hour number one here of After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Give the man his second hit in AAA. Jack Caglione with another single, as the Omaha Storm Chasers take an early 1-0 lead. Nick Lofton had an RBI, and John Rave notched another hit. He's now hitting .297 on the year. Somebody in the text line mentioned that there are some guys in AAA right now with the Omaha Storm Chasers that could potentially help this Royals team a bit. I look at Cam Devaney. He's a guy that could maybe play some second, if you want to put him there and play India in left field, although India is definitely a more natural second baseman. But he's hitting .301 so far this year and has 8 home runs. Devaney's a shortstop. Obviously, he's not going to play shortstop for the Kansas City Royals. There's a certain guy there, you know, just a guy that wears number 7 that plays shortstop every day for the Royals. You're not going to move. Nick Lofton, a guy who's a natural third baseman, is hitting .294. on the year thus far. So, I mean, there are a couple of guys that you could look at that are intriguing possibilities for the Kansas City Royals. If that's what you want to give, if that's what you want to do, if that's who you want to move up, I don't know. There are some guys there. I think it's much more likely that the Royals look at one or two of those guys, maybe somebody else, you know, a few other names that are on this list for the Omaha Storm Chasers. Guys that are close but not quite there as guys that they could use as trade possibilities. But there are options. The Royals have options at their disposal, whether it's calling up a prospect from AAA to try to make some noise or using some of those prospects in AA and AAA and trying to flip that for an immediate proven major league bat. This Royals team is going to make the playoffs. I'm going to say it right now. Pitching's great. 1-5, I feel like you don't mess with. I know that Salvi's off to a slow start, but you got to give the guy the benefit of the doubt at this point. He's been so good and so consistent throughout his career. Mikel Garcia is going to have to prove it over the next month and avoid a letdown in June like he did last season. But I think 1-5 is solid. I think 8-9 are pretty solid right now with Kyle Isbell and Drew Waters. I think, you know, second base and left field, that's what you got to figure out. Can Massey figure, you know, can Massey get something put together? Can he hit the way he did last year? He's got to prove it because there are guys behind him that could certainly make a run at him. Guys like Nick Lofton and Devaney, who I just mentioned. And then ultimately, what's going on in left field, and who's going to DH every day. I'm still kind of the opinion that you let Salvi DH every day and let Freddie Freeman catch, but maybe that's just me. 913-586-7965 is our number. We've got a lot more coming up here in the program. A couple of Chiefs news and notes that I want to get to. Some big news in the NFL as well. A couple of big news stories out of the NFL. And some NBA news. We got Western Conference Finals began yesterday. Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 going on right now. And we know who this season's MVP is in the National Basketball Association. All that's coming up next right here on After Hours on 96.5 The Fan. Logan Weber alongside Jacob Mustard, your home for Kansas City sports.